that I'd like to focus on is at the end there, in verse number 33, the verse that reads, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Now, we often run into people and speak with people and are confronted with people who are very confused. And most people in 2011 are very confused about a lot of different things. And let me tell you right now, God is not to blame for the confusion in our world or the confusion amongst churches or amongst believers, because God is not the author of confusion. Confusion does not come from God, and confusion does not come from the Word of God. Confusion has other sources besides God's Word. And what I'm going to preach to you about this morning is the sources of confusion. What is the reason for all the confusion that we have today? Why are people so confused? One of the things that struck me just yesterday out on our small town soul winning marathon, just talking to people, just how confused some of them were. And it's not that they're bad people or that they don't want to understand the Bible, but they're just so confused because they've heard so many lies and they can't figure out what the truth is. And it's just hard to get people sometimes to understand the gospel. It seems like that's half the battle with getting people saved, is just getting them to understand the gospel. Why are people so confused? What is the source of the confusion? I'm going to give you several sources this morning. First of all, I believe that the biggest source of confusion today is the fact that we have all these different Bible versions. All these different so-called versions of the Bible. That's confusing people. It's very confusing. Because we've got the Bible here in my hand that has all the answers, that is the authority, final authority in all matters of faith and practice. If we all have the same Bible, and we all have the same Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we should all believe the same things and come to the same conclusions. You know, we might be wrong about something, but we could be corrected by God's Word. But when I have a completely different book in front of me, a completely different authority than someone else has, there's never going to be unity. There's never going to be agreement. There's never going to be an understanding. There's going to be total confusion. Now think about, and I like to use this illustration of how, you know, the final law of our land in our government today is the Constitution, right? And so whenever people argue about laws and what they mean, pretty much it goes all the way to the Supreme Court and they decide things based on the Constitution. That is, if there's a law that contradicts the Constitution, they go with the Constitution, because that's the main law of the land. Now, have you noticed how different people interpret the Constitution differently? And they argue about what it means, and they have all different interpretations of it. Well, can you imagine if there were different versions of the Constitution? I mean, think about how bizarre that would be. I mean, they already are confused. But let alone if you had 400 different versions of the Constitution and say, well, my version of the Constitution says something completely different. Mine doesn't say cruel and unusual punishment. Mine just says, you know, it just, you know, what we say is not cruel, or what, you know, just, well, torture is okay in my version. So it doesn't make any sense that if God's Word is the final authority, we'd have 400 different versions of it. It can't make sense. And you say, well, Pastor Anderson, that's just different translations. No, they're not different translations. If they were all just different translations, they'd all have the same verses in them, wouldn't they? Just translated different. Why are there 15 verses missing from all modern versions? Because they're not just translations, they're a different version. They've changed what God said. And you say, well, as long as they just get the thought, it's the thought what counts. No, God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It's the words that count, not just the thought, not just the idea. And you see, the changes in these modern so-called versions of the Bible are strategic changes. They're not just accidental changes. They're not just random changes. No, there's an agenda behind these modern versions, because look, if God's not the author of confusion, then who is? The devil. Think about it. Confusion has an author, and it's not God, it's the devil. And what better way to confuse God's people than to have a whole bunch of different versions? Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a Bible study like this, but when I was a teenager, I'd go to these different Bible studies through my public school or through churches that I went to, and you'd sit around and have a small group Bible study, and it seemed like everybody had a different version. I had the King James Version. And I, by the way, I was the only one with the King James Version. And then somebody else would have the NIV. Somebody else would have the New American Standard. Somebody else would have the Living Bible. And they'd read. Who's ever been in a Bible study like that? Yeah, and literally, the teacher of the Bible study, or the group leader, he would be giving a lesson, and some people would be like, well, that's not even in my Bible at all. Like, your whole lesson is not even in my Bible. Everything you're saying is not found in my Bible. And then literally, we'd do these Bible studies where we'd go through a chapter of the Bible, and you'd read five verses. And sometimes you had trouble even following along, because you can't even tell what they're reading. And that's why today, you have churches with the big screens now. It's not just because they want to spend a bunch of money on a big screen. The reason that they have big screens, there's a reason. You say, are you against those big screens? Well, let me just tell you why they have big screens. The big screen is because everybody has a different Bible that says something totally different. So they have to put the verses on the screen so that everybody's looking at the same thing. And I've been in these churches with the big screens and all the different Bible versions. Sometimes in the same sermon, they'll switch versions throughout the sermon. They'll quote one from the New American Standard. They'll quote one from the NIV. It's just whatever fits their sermon. So instead of making a sermon that fits God's Word, they go through all the Bibles till they can find a verse that fits their sermon. Well, the way the New American Standard says it here, that's going to help my point a little more, so I'm going to put that on the screen. And so that's why they have these screens. And then there's another reason for the big screens. Because they don't sing the hymns. So they can't have a hymn book. They're coming out with a new song that they got off the Christian Contemporary Rock and Roll station this week. They have to put it on the screen because nobody even knows the song. And then they have the little bouncing ball karaoke and everything so that everybody can sing along with songs that they've never known or heard because they just came out last week. And so that's what's going on with these big screens. But it's confusing. When you have everybody with a different version, a different Bible, it's hard enough to get people to agree on what the Bible means sometimes. Let alone when you have all these different versions, that's just making it more confusing, and the devil loves it. Because he's the author of confusion. He loves confusing people. Let me show you some differences, because I like to point this out to people from time to time, that these differences are not accidental. Let me give out some versions here. We've got the New King James Version. Okay, so I'm going to give that to Brother Garrett, okay? And then Brother Matt, you want to take the NIV, okay? And then Richard, how about the New American Standard for you, okay? Don't tell me that these changes are just accidental or just a translation or coincidence. Is it a coincidence when they just take out the word hell completely from the Old Testament every time it occurs? Whoops! Did hell not exist for the first... 80% of the Bible? No, that's not an accident. That's purposeful when they take out hell. Is it a coincidence when they're just consistently attacking the deity of Jesus Christ, saying that Joseph is Jesus' father, saying that he had an origin, saying that he had a beginning, saying that all these different things, that he's not equal with God in Philippians 2? No, it's not an accident. Let me show you one interesting... Turn to Titus chapter 3. Let me show you how bad these modern versions are. Titus chapter 3. And look, if this doesn't confuse you, what I'm about to show you, I give up. Okay? Because there's nothing more confusing to me than these perversions of the Bible. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse number 10. Now, it says in Titus 3:10, a man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So what is a heretic? What is heresy? It's somebody who teaches and preaches and believes false doctrine. That's what it means. Somebody who's wrong. Somebody who believes in lies, okay, is called a heretic. That's what heresy means. Now, go ahead and... Are you there, gentlemen, that I gave out the false Bibles to? Okay. Go ahead and read for me, Brother Garrett, from the New King James. This is where King James, they dug him up and he signed it with his dead hand. But go ahead and read for me Titus 3:10 from the New King James.
Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition.
Okay, so the Bible said reject heretics, right? People who are preaching and teaching false doctrine. That one says reject a divisive man. Okay, the New King James. Now here's what's interesting. The word division is used in the Bible six times. Okay? two times in the Old Testament and four times in the New Testament. Every single time the word division is used in the New Testament, guess who it's talking about? Jesus. Bringing the division. Being divisive. Okay? Listen to these verses. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke 12:51, this is Jesus speaking. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. So Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace on earth. I came to bring division. John 7:43. So there was a division among the people because of him. Talking about Jesus. John 9:16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So again, it's Jesus that caused division. And in John 10:19, there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. That was just after Jesus had finished preaching. So only four times in the New Testament the word division's used, and all four times it's Jesus causing the division. All four times. So basically what the New King James is telling you to do is reject Jesus Christ. Because what'd they say? Read it for us, brother. Okay? It said, or I'll quote it to you. It said in the New King James, reject a divisive man. Who's the most divisive man in the Bible? Who's the only one that the Bible calls divisive? Jesus. Four times. And it just says he's divisive, he's divisive. And look, if we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to cause division. I mean, if a preacher preaches like Jesus, there's going to be division. And yet, they're telling you to reject Jesus and reject anybody who preaches like Jesus. Now, that's not an accident. That's confusing. Don't tell me it's not confusing when I'm reading the Bible and I read four times, Jesus brought division. Jesus caused division. Division because of Jesus. Jesus brought division. Reject a divisive man. What? And you see why people are confused? And look, have you ever heard people say this? Oh, the Bible's filled with contradictions. You know why? Because they're reading these phony Bibles. Because half the time when the people are pointing out contradictions in the Bible, they're giving it to you from the NIV. And I'll be the first to admit, that NIV and that New King James and that New American Standard, they are filled with contradictions. They do contradict themselves. But God's Word, the King James Bible, does not contradict itself. It's just these newfangled translations, so-called, that are confusing. And look, I'm confused when I read four verses that say, Jesus is division. And no, nothing negative in the whole Bible about division. Every time division, it's Jesus doing it. It's God doing it. And then all of a sudden, hey, reject a divisive man. They're basically saying, reject Jesus. Give it to me from the NIV there.
Warn you the first person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, had nothing to do with them.
Okay, so warn a divisive person once, then warn him a second time. After that, nothing to do with it. Read the next verse also.
You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned.
Okay, so according to the NIV, Jesus is warped and sinful.
Yes.
Because it says, you can be sure that anybody who's divisive is warped and sinful. They're saying that Jesus is warped and sinful because he's the one that it kept saying was so divisive and causing division among the people. That's a bad book. That's a confusing book. When it contradicts itself so much like that. And then give me the New American Standard. This is now, by the way, you know why we need these modern versions, supposedly? Because they're so easy to understand. Go ahead and read for me the easy to understand New American Standard.
A reject a factitious man after a first and second warning.
What is a factious man? You're so, you know, sometimes when I'm arguing with my wife, I'm just like, you're so factious. Nobody knows what that... What does that even mean? Are they making up words? Oh, but Pastor Anderson, that's a real word. It's in a dictionary somewhere. Nobody knows what that word means. Factious. It's just... And supposedly that's easier to understand than a heretic. I've heard the word heretic come out of people's mouths thousands of times. I've never heard anyone say, that preacher is factious. Okay, and so it's not easy to understand. It's nonsense. But factious means divisive. Divisive. So again, they're telling you not to divide, even though God's the biggest divider that ever was. Because whenever you preach the truth, it causes division. Because some people want to believe the truth, and some people want to reject the truth, and that's division. And anytime anybody stands up for the truth, it causes division amongst people. But these new versions are telling us to reject divisive people, okay? Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And while you're go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in these phony versions also. And you don't have to turn there, but I'll just give you this one quickly for sake of time. In Matthew chapter 7:14, you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 7:14, the Bible says, because straight is the gate, straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, as in a narrow place. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In the New King James, it says, difficult is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So they're making salvation difficult. Jesus said it's narrow, as in few there be that find it, but it's not difficult to be saved. It's easy to be saved. Jesus already did the hard part when he died on the cross. He did the hard part when he lived a perfect life. All we have to do is receive the gift of eternal life that he already paid for. The hard part is paying for an expensive gift. The easy part is receiving the gift and tearing open the wrapping paper. And that's what the Bible is using as an illustration here. Salvation's easy. The New King James wants to make it hard. But you see, these new versions, they have an agenda to change Bible doctrines, to contradict themselves. They don't make any sense. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I'll read for you from the King James Bible here. Follow along in your Bible. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Now there's nothing hard to understand about this so far, is there? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. So Jesus is coming, and we're going to be gathered together unto him. Pretty easy to understand. Look at verse 2. That you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Notice the sentence isn't over yet. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Period. So the Bible tells us here very clearly, don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anybody shake you up about this to think that the day of Christ is at hand. That Jesus Christ coming and our gathering together unto him is at hand. He says, don't let anybody deceive you. That day will not come except X, Y, and Z come first. Right? I mean, it's pretty clear. He's saying, look, that's not about to happen. Because first, there's going to be this, there's going to be this, there's going to be this. He says, first, there's going to be a falling away. Then the man of sin is going to be revealed. And then he's going to, you know, declare himself to be God. You know, because that's the Antichrist who declares himself to be God in the flesh. He poses as the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the Bible's real clear here. He says, hey, people are telling you that Jesus Christ can come at any moment, and the day of Christ is at hand. Don't believe them, because these things have to happen first. First, there's going to be a falling away. Then the man of sin is going to be revealed. Then he's going to declare himself to be God. Those things got to happen first. Okay, read it for me from the NIV. Let's start there, Brother Matt. Let's start reading in verse 2. And you're following along in the real Bible. Nice and loud, Matt. Reading chapter 2, verse 2, 2 Thessalonians.
Not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come.
Okay, so you see the difference? So in the NIV it says, don't let anybody deceive you that it's already happened. Now wait a minute. The King James said, hey, it's not at hand because X, Y, and Z has to happen first. It's not about to happen because this, and this has to come first, and if that stuff hasn't happened, then he's not going to come until that stuff happens. The NIV changes it as, well, don't let anybody fool you into thinking that it's already happened. So according to the NIV, it still could be about to happen at any moment. It just hasn't already happened. And here's the other thing about this. It says this, you know, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, this doesn't even make sense. In the King James, it makes perfect sense, because he says, like, don't let anybody tell you it's about to happen, because this, and this has to happen first. The other one says, don't let anybody tell you that it already happened, because this and this has to happen. It doesn't even make any sense. And they're purposely changing it, because 99% of the people who preach out of that NIV tell you, Jesus can come back at any moment, don't they? He can come back before this sermon is even over. He can come back at any moment. Well, guess what? The Bible says anybody who teaches that's a deceiver, because X, Y, and Z has to happen first. The NIV conveniently takes that out. Even the New King James. Read it from the New King James, verse 2, 2 Thessalonians 2.
Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come.
As if it had already come, you see? The New King James says the same thing. And so we see that these are strategic changes that are of the devil. Taking out the word hell, why? Because they don't want people to be warned about hell. Because they want people to go to hell. So they don't warn them about hell. They take out the word hell. Strategic changes, attacking the deity of Christ. Because they don't want people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. It is the author of confusion, the devil himself, that has put out all these so-called versions to soften up the Bible, to tone things down, to take out the word hell, to take out anybody who wants to be like Jesus and bring some division between right and wrong. And I'm all about division today. In fact, I sometimes wish I would have called this church Division Baptist. That's a great name for a church. Division Baptist Church, where we divide between male and female, which our society fails to do, and they think that male and female are the same. Where we divide between right and wrong. Where we divide between the truth and lies. Where we divide between saved and unsaved. Look, it's all about division, my friend. But these new versions attack that. They attack the doctrine of the second coming of Christ by changing it into this thing, well, he could come at any time. Who does the Bible say is coming? The man of sin, first. Who's the man of sin? The Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist pretending to be? Jesus Christ. Who do they think is coming at any time? Jesus Christ. Who's really coming at any time? The Antichrist. So who are they going to think the Antichrist is? They brainwash people. Jesus can come back at any moment. And then the Antichrist comes and they say, here he is. Well, guess what? The Bible tells us, hey, don't let anybody deceive you. First comes the Antichrist before Jesus Christ. Then Jesus will put down the Antichrist. This lie of the pre-tribulation rapture. I'm sick of it. And that brings me to my second point. Number two. Number one, the source of confusion, the modern so-called versions. Confusing everybody. We can't even agree on what the Bible says. We're not going to agree on anything. And especially when you have Bibles that contradict themselves and don't even make sense. But secondly, why are people confused today? They're confused because of preaching that does not make the Bible clear. That's why they're confused today. See, the Bible tells us over and over that as preachers, we should make the Bible very clear and plain. Let me give you some scriptures on that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, and if you would turn to 1 Corinthians 14 where we started, 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Confusion reigns today. I mean, throughout our world, throughout churches, it's confusing. It's confusing to walk into the Bible bookstore and there's, you know, 30 different Bibles and they all say something different. And you're like, well, which one do I buy? Which one do I read? And they say, well, let's see which one you like. It doesn't matter what you like. You know, read the... how about which one's right? I want to just walk into the Christian bookstore and say, which of these is the right Bible? So anyway, 2 Corinthians 3:12 says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. What is plainness of speech? Plain? Have you ever heard this expression? Plain and simple? You know what it means? Clear. It means that people understand what you're saying. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Remember in verse 33 it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." And we have some of the sources for the confusion in this passage. We saw the one about languages and translations. You know, when you got all these phony so-called translations that are really perversions of the Bible, that's confusing. But not only that, look at verse number 7. The Bible reads in 1 Corinthians 14, 7, "And even things without life," this is talking about things that are not alive, "giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air." So the Bible is explaining to us that when we speak to people, and when a preacher preaches, unless he uses words that are easy to be understood, he's wasting his time and he's speaking into the air. The Bible says we need to use plainness of speech. Speak clearly. Speak in a way that people can understand what we're saying. That uses the illustration about musical instruments. A trumpet, for example. He said, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Now, in the old days, before they had walkie-talkies and radios and all these different ways of communicating, they would communicate with a trumpet. Because they would give a trumpet sound, and then that would tell them that the battle is beginning. You know, that would be the signal to start the charge or to start the attack. Because they didn't have radios and cell phones and ways to communicate beyond that. So, the trumpet would sound. Okay, and everybody would hear that sound and say, "Charge!" Right? Now, can you imagine this? You know, the battle's about to start. Everything's riding on the timing. When you hear the trumpet, that's when we charge. You know, and you just hear like, an uncertain sound. You'd be like, what does that mean? What is that? Is that the trauma? And then you know what you'd see? Some people charging and some not. Because they hear a lot. You know, it's like, you know, it's just right like, what? What's going on? What do we do? And then can you imagine if, you know, charge! If it was just like, charge? Charge? Huh? You know, and that's the way a lot of preaching is. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's not clear. It's not just firmly, clearly, just a certain sound. Hey, this is what we're going to do. Hey, it's time to charge. Let's go. It's like, right? Do we go? Okay, it's confusing. And if we do not utter by the tongue words that are easy to be understood, the Bible says it's going to cause, basically it's going to bring confusion. Because people won't know who shall prepare himself to the battle. You know, how are they going to know that it's time to fight when they get an uncertain sound of a trumpet? And a lot of preaching today is unclear or vague or using words that people don't understand, and therefore people are confused. They don't know what to do. They don't know what the Bible says. And, you know, we were out soul winning yesterday. You know, I talked to a lady, and she went to a Baptist church, and I think this lady was probably saved. But she couldn't even hardly express to me the plan of salvation. Because I asked her if she was saved. She said, yes. And I said, well, what do you believe a person has to do to be saved? And this is a person who's been in church for years. They're going to church week after week after week at a Baptist church. And they can't clearly tell me what being saved means. Oh, well, accept him. You know, you're like, what? Well, what do you mean accept him? Like, I'm having trouble finding that verse. Accept him. You know, I gave my heart to Jesus. You know, what does that mean? You know, and you basically, you get all these things that nobody understands, just these little buzzwords and buzz phrases that people use. Nobody knows what they mean. What is that? What are you talking about? You know, you got to have a relationship with Jesus. What does that mean? Does that mean I need to talk to him every day? Does that mean I need to take him out to dinner or something? I mean, what does that mean? But they use unbiblical words that are confusing, that nobody knows what they mean. It's not clear what they believe about salvation. And I explained salvation to this lady in just a few minutes. I think she probably was already saved. She just couldn't express it. Because once I explained it to her, she totally agreed with it. And she had already said to me that, you know, that a person couldn't lose their salvation, that, you know, it's all paid by Jesus. But she was confused. And then I explained to her in just a couple minutes, and then she said, oh yeah, that makes perfect, that's exactly what I believe. That's clear. That's perfect sense of what I believe. And people are confused today because of this vague, uncertain preaching that's going on. And a lot of it is because preachers are trying to be like politicians, where they want to talk out of both sides of their mouth and have it both ways. You know, and politicians are masters of this. This is what it means to be a politician. I mean, they get up and they give a speech and everybody hears what they want to out of that speech. Everybody hears what they want to hear because they kind of say everything both ways. And then everybody hears what they want and then they have the most followers possible. You see, if a politician started just drawing a hard line and just saying, this is right, this is wrong, then you know what? He'd lose a lot of followers. Because anybody who draws a hard line, what do they cause? Division. When anybody draws a hard line and says, this is right, this is wrong, they cause division. Well, then they're not going to have as many followers, they're not going to get the votes, and they're not going to be a successful politician. That's why no successful politician draws a hard line, or speaks clearly, or makes it plain, because then they wouldn't be a politician, because they wouldn't get elected. You know, and so they ask these politicians questions, and they can't get them to give a straight answer. That's what these debates are like. You know, they ask them a question, they can't get the answer. You know, so what do you believe about this? But the sad thing is, we have a lot of preachers who hang around with politicians. And they hang around with the mayor, and they hang around with the governor, and they hang around with the city council, and they begin to learn their ways. And they get in their fancy cars, and they got their fancy suits, and hey, you know. And then whenever somebody asks them a question, it's like, well, you know, that's a really difficult question. You know, what do you believe about salvation? You know, what do you believe? I remember I walked up to a pastor one time. I had started going to a church, and I walked up to the pastor, and I said, hey, do you believe a person can lose their salvation or not? Well, let me draw you a picture. And he literally sat down and pulled out a piece of paper and started drawing me a picture. And he drew like a cross and a guy and a goal. And you know, and then and I talked to the guy for 20 minutes. I never could really figure out whether he believed a person could lose their salvation or not. You know, it started to kind of sound like he was saying you couldn't lose it. But then I would have said, so basically, no matter what I do, I'm still saved. And he said, no Christian would ever say that. What? Why not? Is it too clear? Is it make too much sense? No matter what I do, I'm still saved? Let me put it to you another way. No matter what my son Solomon does, he's still my son.
That's right.
I'm still going to love him. Right? Now, I'm going to discipline him when he does wrong, but no matter what he does, he's still my son. And no matter what I do, I'm still God's son. That's not complicated. And there's nothing confusing about the Bible. And a lot of people today, they say, well, the Bible's confusing. All these different religions, I'm confused. It's not God that's the author of confusion. And if you're sitting in church confused, you're probably in the wrong church. Because God's not the author of confusion. If you're reading the Bible and you're confused, it's not the Bible's fault, it's your fault. If you're sitting in church and you don't know what's being preached and you can't understand what's being said, it's you're probably just listening to somebody who's not making things clear. Let me make it clear to you today. The King James Bible is the Word of God. These other versions are from Satan.
Amen.
That's why they tell you to reject Jesus. That's why they tell you that Jesus is warped and sinful. That's why they tell you that there's no hell in the Old Testament. That's why they tell you that Jesus can come back at any moment. Because they're full of lies. Because they're from the devil. Now, does anybody have any questions on where I stand on the Bible issue? The King James Bible has zero mistakes in it. Any questions? Oh, what do you believe about salvation? I believe that salvation is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did everything. We don't have to do any works before, during, or after salvation to be saved. Because Jesus did all the work. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Any questions? That's clear. And I can back it up with Scripture. I could give you 100 scriptures on it right now that'll tell you that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the kind of preaching we need. Clear Bible preaching where there's no doubt left in anybody's mind what the preacher believes. Amen. And what the church stands for. And what the Bible says. And people say, well, do you believe a person has to repent of their sins to be saved?
Well, that's a really tough question. Let me draw you a picture. Let's sit down and talk about it.
No, clear. Here's my answer. Does a person have to repent of their sins to be saved? No.
Amen.
N-O. No. Because if you did, then nobody'd be saved. Repent of your sins. That's something you have to do every day. Turn from your sins. Hey, the Bible says that that's works. The Bible says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that He said He would do unto them, and He did it not. And I hear preachers all the time, and they want to have it both ways. Like, well, we believe in repent. You know, repent and trust Jesus Christ. But they just won't tell you what repent means. And then half the people in the church think it's salvation by faith alone. And then the other half think it's repent of their sins. And they all think the pastor agrees with them. I heard him say repent. Yeah, but I heard him say it was believe only. And there's confusion today. And I'm telling you something. When we go out soul winning and we talk to a bunch of people, because when you do this small town soul winning that we do, it really becomes clear to you. Because you end up literally talking to just a whole bunch of people that go to the same church in one day. Because there's only a couple of churches in town. There's like one Baptist church, one Catholic church, one Pentecostal church. And so you'll talk to people. And when you talk to five people that all go to the same church, and they all believe something completely different about salvation from one another, that tells you that that church is not preaching clearly at all. I mean, if you ask the people at our church what salvation is, they're all going to tell you the same thing. It's belief. It's faith. It's not of works. They're all going to tell you that. And if you ask them what they believe about repentance, they're all going to tell you the same thing. And it's not because they're a bunch of clones. It's because they all know what the Bible says and it's been taught to them. Other people are confused and they don't even know where the church stands. They don't even know where they stand because the preaching is so unclear and vague and confusing. And I'm sick of preachers trying to have it both ways, trying to say things in a way where everybody will agree with it. You know, they'll use the word repent, but they won't define it. That way they can keep both crowds happy. You know what? I want that other crowd to get out of here. That's what I want. I don't want them happy. Somebody believes that salvation's attained by you quitting drinking or being willing to quit drinking and quit. Look, you don't have to quit drinking to be saved. You just have to believe on Jesus Christ to be saved. And you know, you got these people who want to string them along that teach work salvation. And I'm sorry, but when you have a church that's filled with heresy and filled with a bunch of people believing a bunch of false doctrine, different things, there's something wrong with the preaching in that church. Because these people either need to get taught the truth or get out. That's the way I see it. Shouldn't have a bunch of confusion within the local church about people not knowing what they believe. And you can boil it down to any subject. That's just one subject, salvation. When a preacher preaches, it ought to be clear what's being preached. And I believe the Bible's very clear. There's nothing unclear about what hell is. The Bible says it's a furnace of fire. What's unclear about that? But yet you have all these different doctrines of people confused about what hell is, or what heaven is, or what salvation is, or when the rapture takes place. Hey, the Bible tells us when it takes place, after the tribulation. Any questions? But there's confusion today because nothing's being preached clearly because people have the wrong Bible version. And thirdly this, go if you would to verse number, chapter 14, go to verse number 37, the Bible reads in 1 Corinthians 14:37. It says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Okay, so this is right after he said God's not the author of confusion. He said the confusion is coming from people who think they're spiritual, they think they're a prophet, but they don't acknowledge that God's Word is the final authority. They don't acknowledge that the things that Paul has written unto them is the words of the Lord. So number one, they got the wrong Bible, or they don't have the Bible, or they have a phony version of the Bible. Number two, preaching that's giving an uncertain sound is causing them to become confused. They don't know what to believe. They don't even know what the church is preaching to them or what's being said. But number three, the reason for confusion, the source of confusion today is ignorance. The Bible says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That's what is causing people to be confused, is the fact that they're ignorant. Okay? What does it mean to be ignorant? Ignorant means that you don't know things. Now, some people confuse the word ignorant with the word stupid. You know, now, a person that's stupid, they can't learn. Right? You keep showing them things and teaching them things, and they just can't learn. They just don't get it. And you just say they're stupid. They cannot learn. But an ignorant person is someone who has just not learned. It doesn't mean that they can't learn. It just means that they have not learned. It means that they lack knowledge. They lack understanding. And so people are ignorant today because they don't read the Bible, because they don't study to show themselves approved, because they're not learning anything in church when they go to church, and because they're not studying and reading today, they're totally ignorant. And therefore, they become easily confused. I mean, if I'm talking to somebody, when I'm out knocking doors soul winning, if I'm talking to somebody about the gospel, and I ask them, do you know what the word forgiveness means? And they say, no. And that just happened to me a week ago. I'm out soul winning, I asked this girl, do you know what the word forgiveness means? She said, no. You know what it means to forgive someone? No. She was like 14. I asked her, I said, do you know what the word saved means? You know what it means to be saved? No. Have you ever heard of Adam and Eve? No. You know, and it's really hard to give somebody the gospel when they're so ignorant of not only the Bible, not only the stories of the Bible, but they're actually ignorant of even what basic English words mean. You know, and look, you can see why people get confused about repentance. They don't know what the word repentance means. You can see how people get confused about the word tribulation. They don't know what the word tribulation means. And why do they not know what it means? Because they're ignorant. Okay? Because they're unlearned. And we live in such a dumbed down society. I was trying to talk to this teenage girl yesterday. I'm trying to give her the gospel. And she's like texting the whole time I'm trying to give her the gospel. She, you know, her little phone like beeps, and she just has to just, like Pavlov's dogs, you know, she hears this little sound of, you know, ring, and it's just like, bing, bing. Like she can't wait a couple minutes until I'm done talking to her. She's just like, oh, let me see. And then, LOL, you know, whatever. She has to give her a little response. And over the course of this conversation, she just keeps going to it, like, just the texting, and she's trying to listen. And she couldn't even understand what I'm saying. And I asked her, I'm like, do you ever read the Bible? No. Do you ever read anything besides texts? You know? But the thing is, we live in a time where the young people and the children are very dumbed down. They don't do reading. They all have ADD. So they cannot focus themselves on sitting in front of a book and reading it. Okay? And so they don't know what the Bible says. They don't know science. They don't know history. They don't know math. That we live in a dumbed down society. And I hear them constantly saying, you know, oh, we need better education system in the public school. And yet, kids are dumber today. And not just by my standards. Even by standardized testing results, kids are dumber today in 2011 than they've ever been in the history of our nation. They are. I mean, the scores just go down. And then they just make the test easier. And it's getting to the point where people are so ignorant, that's why they're so easily confused. Think about it. A little child, it's easy to confuse them.
You know? And then basically it's like, I'm confused. What's happening to your finger?
Why? It's not that they're stupid. They're just ignorant. They haven't learned yet about tricks, sleight of hand, you know. And you say, you know. And it's the same thing with people today that are ignorant. If people are ignorant, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses can walk up to them and, you know,
Hey, did you know Jesus didn't die on the cross? He actually died on a stick.
Really?
He died on a torture stick.
Oh, okay.
You know? Oh, hey, did you know? You know, people can just come up and get them to believe anything. And hey, did you know that you came from an ape?
Really?
You know? And they just believe anything. And it's easy to confuse them. When you start talking, I mean, sometimes when I preach, like, you know, I touched on earlier with that Bible verse about the rapture and the tribulation and Jesus Christ's second coming. A lot of times when I preach a sermon on that subject, like, a lot of people can't even follow the sermon. And they're just like, oh, that stuff just confuses me. It's Bible prophecy and the book of Revelation. I'm just so confused by it. It's all just so confusing to me. You know why it's confusing to you? And a lot of people might have even been confused a few minutes ago when I started to touch upon that. You know why you're confused? Because you're ignorant. That's why. Because if you read the book of Revelation, you know, 10 times, and read the book of Thessalonians 10 times, then come back, and then I explain it to you, you won't be confused. Because, oh yeah, I read that. Okay, I understand that. I see that. But people today, they spend so much time texting, and I'm not saying that it's wrong to send a text message, okay? Not saying it's a sin, but let me tell you something. People today, they spend so much time texting and Facebooking and tweeting and basically watching TV, watching movies, listening to music, and they're doing everything except learning. That's what they're doing. They're doing everything except reading. And the Bible tells us to read in the book of the law all the days of our life. And they're doing everything except reading. They're doing everything except learning. And they're so dumbed down. Their vocabulary is so dumbed down. Because they're used to just talking in these incomplete sentences. Yes, what up? You know, and that's just all, that's how they communicate. I mean, are we just, I don't understand. Are we just devolving to the point where it's going to be like everybody talks like a 5-year-old? Me, go there, you know. Me, eat food. And then, you know, LOL. And they can't even form complete normal sentences and understand complex sentences and understand big words. And then they say, oh, the King James Bible is too complicated. I can't understand it. It's too hard. I don't know what the word heretic means. I don't know what these words mean. And so it gets dumbed down because of ignorance. And look, you're going to be confused in your life. You're going to come to church and somebody, if anybody's confused in my sermons, it's usually just probably because they're ignorant of what words mean and they're ignorant of the Bible. You need to shut off your devices for a while, honestly, and just read the Bible.
Amen.
You know, and look, I'm a businessman and I've got the devices. I've got the smartphone, the 4G network, you know. I've got the apps and the Android and all that stuff. But you know what? I make a point to just shut that stuff off and open the black book and read it for hours. Because I have to stay a normal human being and not become an Android. No pun intended. Okay? You know, Android will turn you into an Android. Okay? So what I'm saying is, I'm not confused today about what the gospel is. I'm not confused today about who God is. Most of you are not confused either. What is the source for all the confusion out there in the world? Well, first of all, it's all these different versions. Second of all, it's a bunch of preachers who confuse people by speaking in unclear words. Mincing their words. Not making things clear. Using words that aren't in the Bible just to confuse people. Proto-evangelium. Christophany. You know, it's like, what? And they use these words to sound smart and to confuse the listener. And number three, it's because of ignorance, of not understanding and knowing what the Bible says, what basic words mean. We need to be smart people today. God doesn't want us to be ignorant and dumb. The Bible says a wise man will hear and will increase learning. God commands us to learn. Well, I just don't like reading. God commands us to read. He commands us to learn. He commands us to grow in knowledge and in wisdom and in understanding. And there's a lot of confusion today because people are ignorant. If you haven't read the Bible cover to cover, by the way, you're ignorant. Read it cover to cover.
again and again and again, and you won't be ignorant. You know, and when we hear preaching, it should be clear what's being preached. Hey, and look, I'm not the best preacher in the world, and a lot of people might hate my preaching, but at least they know what I said. At least they walk out and know what I believe. And maybe I'm not eloquent, or maybe I stumble over my words, or maybe my sermon is not 3 points in a poem, but at least I know what I believe, and at least everyone else knows what I believe. And no one is confused. They might be mad, but they're not confused. They might not come back, but they're not confused. And confusion is the plague of our day. And most of the people who don't get saved out soul winning says they're so confused. It's like you can't even get through to them anymore because they're so ignorant. They've been so confused they can't even understand the truth anymore. Let's not be confused as God's people. Let's not be ignorant. Let's read our Bibles. Let's be clear and not be confused. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer.